escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
We welcome in James Hamm of the Insiders here. Hammer, I don't have anything, man. I do not have it. I don't have any more thoughts that I can ask you for on Jonathan Kuminga. Or I guess I could ask you this, but it doesn't pertain to Jonathan Kuminga, but it does pertain to this overall offseason. Because I've asked this question, and Casey and I were talking about this yesterday. I've asked this question time and time again about, and we've talked about it, Hammer, about the Warriors and just kind of the locker room going back to normal if Jonathan Kuminga winds up signing that qualifying offer or this thing drags out into training camp and you put a microphone in front of Draymond Green and Steve Kerr, who a lot of these stories are centered around. But what about Sacramento? I mean, Devin Carter kind of took the pros approach at Summer League. You know, I think it's a little different when you get to the regular season. We're hearing a lot about Malik Monk after it was just, man, we got to resign Malik. We got to resign Malik. We got to resign Malik. All last year and this year, it feels very different. For a team that is so desperate to establish chemistry, is it a little concerning that we could enter the season with something a little thrown off?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's always been my biggest concern. Like, how do you build a culture when, like, 75% of your roster won't be here when your finished product is going to be, you know, happening? And maybe that's, that number is too high. Maybe it's too low. Like, I mean, Scott Perry flipped the Knicks roster completely in a year. Right. So you're left with this question of like, how do you establish a culture without having a culture piece, without having someone who that you establish that culture around and you build that culture around? And like, look, that's not a knock on a guy like Keon Ellis or a guy like Keegan Murray. Both of those guys are good culture guys, but they're not the culture setter. You know, like we all know, like the loudest voice in the room in Golden State is Draymond Green, but that's always been Steph's team. Like he's the godfather of that team. And, you know, if you have problems or you need to vent grievances or anything else, you go to Steph because it's his team. And like, how do you build like flip a roster and build it, try to establish something when you don't have that person you're establishing anything around? And that's going to be a challenge. You know, Doug Christie can do as much as he can as a coach to establish that culture, but the players are always going to go to a player. They're not going to go to a coach nearly as often as they would go to a player. And so, you know, it's going to be on the Kings to establish who those people are and who the roadmap, you know, forward is going to, you know, have in the car, right? Like who's going to be there. And that, I don't know that they know the answer to that.
I was just going to ask you, I mean, how much do you think a coach or a GM, at least for the time being until you get that guy in the building, can be the culture setter, can be the kind of guys that set the tone for the entire organization? Is that something that can happen you know, over the course of a couple years, and then it has to be handed off to a player. But, or could it be something that, I mean, we talk about Pat Riley and Spo all the time. Like, those guys mm-hmm. are the Miami Heat. Mm-hmm. Is that just kind of a one-off, a rare situation, or is that something that could happen with the right front office people and coach?
Yeah, I mean, like, look, I think it's different everywhere, but, like, when we talk about styles of play or, you know, the way that you see a team fight all the way to the finish line, I always bring up Taylor Jenkins, right? I thought, you know, because I don't think Memphis was, you know, one of the most talented teams in the league at all. I never thought that they were super, like, over-the-top talented, but they had a system in place that forced players to play hard. And if you don't play hard, if you don't finish out the entire 48 minutes, then you're not going to play. You know, they'll go to someone else. And so I think there is an ability to create that, but you're always going to be as good as your best player. And you're always going to be as, you know, like, if that player has a big voice and is able to bring people together. I think the other, a player I'll bring up that I think has, like, this type of influence on his team, and it's not like one of the household names. I mean, he's a household name, but not one of the biggest superstars in the league. And it's Donovan Mitchell. Like, everyone in the league knows Donovan Mitchell. Everyone in the league has ties to Donovan Mitchell. And when Donovan Mitchell is in that locker room in Cleveland, that's his locker room. Mm-hmm. You know, that's his team. And Kenny Atkinson is a great coach, and he has a mindset that he forces his players to play and a system that they play. But that team is going to go as far as Donovan Mitchell takes them. And they're going to get through tough times and easy times and all that stuff using him as a catalyst for that. And that's because he's a connector. He's somebody that connects everything together. And the Kings are going to have to find that connective piece. And, you know, we can talk about, you know, like the influence that Malik Monk has had on that team over the last couple of years, or the Domantas Sabonis, you know, how he's had a bigger and bigger influence on his team over the last couple of years. But you need as many of those voices and as many of those people that you count on for everything as possible. And until the Kings establish that, it is tough. Now, again, you can have, like, Spoelstra has a system in place to develop talent, but he also relies on players. You know, it's a player-driven league, and there is always going to be a us and them situation. The coaching staff has their own us versus them. The front office has their own us versus them. And, you know, your players have that, but you're hoping that they all meld together where they're all pulling together in one, you know, direction. And I think more often than not, we've seen that that's not the case here in Sacramento, where everyone's not pulling the same direction.
Is it difficult to find that connective tissue, to use the line that you just used, when it feels like you're always in such flux?
Yeah.
Like, if Malik if Malik is still a King on the first day, like, it's not like rumors are going to stop. Like, there's still, his name is probably going to be referenced all the way till February. Same with Devin, I'm sure.
Oh, no, I totally agree. And that's on them to be pros and to figure it out and to move on. Because it's also possible Malik Monk plays the next 3 years in Sacramento.
Sure.
Now, I'm not going to bank on that. You know, if I were putting an over-under on it, I don't know what the number would be. But I would assume that there's a good chance he doesn't finish his contract. But, like, look, I think that, you know, that's the one thing about... You know, we always come back to this one point, like, when you trade away De'Aaron Fox, you traded away more than just the best player. You traded away a lot of what your identity was as a team. And whether Fox was the end all be all phenomenal leader that would, you know, is going to, you know, take you into battle and lead you into battle and, you know, be the guy out in front yelling charge. I don't know. But you did know that that was De'Aaron Fox's team. And, you know, like, the other pieces around them, yeah, there's a bunch of influential pieces around them, but a lot of basketball players defer to the best player on the team. And that's just kind of the way it goes. And I think it's, go back to your high school days, like, the point guard or the best player on your basketball team is the guy who has the biggest voice in the room. The quarterback of your football team, he's the guy that everyone follows. So, yeah, the Kings are in a state where they've got to figure out how to create that again. and again, create it not knowing who might be there at in February or next offseason.
So this is going to sound like shade, but it's not, I promise. But it's reality. I agree with what James just said. What was the Kings' identity with De'Aaron Fox? It's probably that like an inconsistent team, which is kind of what we feel about De'Aaron. Like sometimes they'd show up and do what they're supposed to do, and sometimes they'd just be gone. Like what team is it? How you lose to Washington in Washington? Mm-hmm. How you lose to the Hornets?
Or in Sacramento right before Christmas.
The Pistons in Sacramento.
Right. And I'm not saying that's a reason to move on from him, but I'm just saying, like, you're right, James. Like, if that was your best player, that was going to be a roller coaster.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think it was an issue. Like, I used to always hear this, winning cures all, right? You know, my good friend Chris Clark, who used to be the media director, just wait, we start winning this, all this noise goes away. Mm. Well, the problem is you never won. And the second they did win, all that noise went away and he was third team all NBA and was like a couple of votes away from being second team all NBA. So winning does like make a lot of that noise go away. And it also makes, you know, that's where you get all NBA. That's where you get all-star appearances. It really does depend on winning, especially when you're in a smaller market. And so like, look, I think that there were times where, you know, they let off the gas. They didn't deal with success well. You know, that's why I think year two was, you know, for some reason they thought they made it after year one. And year two, they let their like attention span, their attention to detail slip. And the slips in year two, it did cost them what, 4 or 5 games against the worst teams in the league. You know, we talked about they lost to Charlotte, they lost to Detroit. They lost to Washington and they lost to Portland. Those are unacceptable losses. And that's, to be honest with you, that's the difference between being a 46 win team and a 50 win team. And that's not even all the 5 games they lost because they missed free throws. So like there was a way for that team to be really, really good, but they didn't embrace success in the right way. And then they regressed and specific players regressed like incredibly. And you're like, what in the world happened to you? And sometimes that does happen at the NBA level. Guys just are outstanding and then they're not, you know, like look at what missing free throws in the NBA finals did to Nick Anderson's career. Like the dude was never, ever the same. Like he rolled up in Sacramento and he was a perfectly fine player, but how do you go from being like a really good free throw shooter entire career to all of a sudden you're 45% free throw shooter and you got the yips? Like, and it just affected every aspect of his game. So, I don't know the exact, like, the psychological breakdown of how this team went from being, you know, an outstanding team on the rise that was third in the Western Conference to where they are today, but sort of a dark path.
Yeah.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping, whatever you shave. Welcome to the club.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
You know who I feel like the guy who's going to have to pull everyone together? James, I think you're going to hate this, to be honest. I think it's DeMar. I think DeMar is the veteran voice in that locker room. He's one of the most he has to be the most respected player on the team. He's one of the most respected players in the league. And, you know, DeMar might be one of those guys who has to put the, you know, regardless of what our future looks like, you know, we're together now. Mm-hmm. And I think DeMar is a guy that you can absolutely rally behind. And if it's not DeMar, I honestly don't know who it is.
Yeah, to be honest, you know, again, DeMar has, like, he's very quiet. He's very focused. I don't, you guys read his book, I'm assuming, or at least parts of it. That's who he is. Like, he, in the locker room, he doesn't seem like a rah-rah guy or a guy that's pulling everyone together and having, you know, super deep conversations all the time. But, you know, you're right. He's getting paid to be a veteran influence on this team. And again, I don't know that that's a type of role that he's really looking for. He'd rather let his game do his talking. And again, the players respect him. That's why he, you know, again, why we only saw like one tussle the entire season aimed at him. And, it, you know, for even though he was shooting sometimes way too much, like there were games where it's just like, man, what are we doing here? And that's usually where you see self-regulation with the team. And everybody had like a hands-off approach and like, well, that's DeMar DeRozan. That's, you know, we're going to go as far as he takes us type deal. And that's not always a good thing, but I just don't know that he's that type of leader. And the same, you know, Sabonis, again, is a guy that everybody counts on and trusts and, you know, he's funny. And, but I just don't know that he's that guy that's, you know, demanding everybody come into the circle and like looking everybody in the eye and saying it's go time every single time. And that's just never really been his type of personality.
I feel like he's too busy doing this sometimes. For those that aren't watching, I'm just throwing my hands up the air, like exasperated by what's going on.
Do you go back?
For the record, I like DeMontis Sabonis. For some reason, I've been a little frustrated with him this week. Go ahead.
Do you, James, going back to some kind of talked about, you think Doug Christie can get away with that for a little while, being that type of person that gets everybody together? And what I mean, a little while, maybe it's a year, maybe it's the first 3 months and then somebody else to take over. But how long do you think he can be, if you think he can be, that guy that kind of galvanizes everyone?
Well, I think he definitely is a leader of men, right? So that's something that I'll say about Doug. Like, you can't find, well, you can find one person total that I've heard that has a negative word to say about Doug Christie. And I don't think any of us are listening to that person at all. You know, outside of that, like, everybody respects Doug. They like Doug. You know, like, the, you just go talk to the media members. Like, we're all close with Doug because he was one of us for a long time. But at the same time, like, he's going to have to find his voice, and it can't just be with the young guys. It can't just be as a team as a whole. Sometimes it's hard having hard discussions with veterans. And that's something that I think Doug is going to have to grow into. And it's something that I don't know that he was fully prepared to do last season. You know, having a meeting with the starters only, that's one thing. But pulling aside a veteran and saying, hey, like, look, I can't have you doing that anymore. You know, if you're not going to play defense, or if you're going to take X amount of shots, or you're going to force things, or you're not going to play within the flow, or I'm going to set this standard that every 8 seconds is a whole new thing in the shot clock. The first eight, we're bringing the ball over. The second eight, we're getting into our offensive set. And the third 8 minutes is the third 8 seconds is like panic mode and get it to somebody who can score. I can't have you getting into the final 8 seconds with 20 seconds on the shot clock. And so those are things that Doug is going to have to put his foot down, and he's going to have to learn how to do that, because that's not always easy. Especially when, you know, Doug is a player who, you know, understands the hierarchy better than anybody of not just an NBA locker room, but the stars on your team. And, you know, in order to win over the stars, you've got to hold people accountable. And that is the one thing I will say about De'Aaron Fox. Like, a lot of people can say whatever they want about De'Aaron Fox, but De'Aaron Fox always wanted to be coached hard and always wanted to be directed. And like, it's not that he was okay with Mike Brown yelling at him. He was okay with Mike Brown going out in the media and calling him out for making a bad foul against Detroit. De'Aaron's always been okay with that because that's how he was raised, with somebody in his ear yelling at him and coaching him in a very loud and aggressive manner. And it's something he looks for in a coach. And so, but not every player is that way. And some players shut down. So it's just kind of weird. I don't know how this team pieces everything together, and there's so many moving parts, and a lot of them are temporary.
Do you think, how much was Doug going at it kind of alone last year? You know, Casey has brought this up as to one of the traumatic incidents of last season, of obviously the Mike Brown firing, but there is really uncomfortable circumstances regarding Mike Brown's firing, and, you know, the things that involve Luke Louts and Jay Triano and so on. How much, and you pointed this out in real time, Doug is testy because he's exhausted. How much of last year in that final stretch did he really go at it by himself?
Oh, like a lot. I mean, it wasn't just, you know, I've told you guys this before, but, you know, when they fired Mike and they elevated Doug, they didn't replace Doug. And then when Luke Louts decided to walk away, again, first of all, there was always going to be friction there because that's Mike's guy. And it's Mike's guy that didn't get the job, to be honest with you. Like, Luke Louts is one of those guys who probably in line in a lot of situations to become like an interim head coach, or, you know, coach in waiting type deal. Mm-hmm. You know, like, as far as Jay Triano, I know that there was some friction between Jay and some of the younger guys on the staff. But I don't think, like, Doug was going at it alone. He had some support pieces there that he relied on. And, you know, and I don't think those were people that you thought. It was sort of tertiary people, people on the fringe of the coaching staff originally, who became bigger, had bigger roles with Doug than they did with Mike. But then on top of that, you know, I've mentioned this before, Leandro Barbosa, at one point he tore his quad and had to have surgery and missed time. And then he had a family situation out of the country and was gone for a bunch of time. And so Doug really was isolated. He was isolated with a team that wasn't playing that well, that was struggling to finish the season, that had lost their rudder in De'Aaron Fox, and was trying to adjust on the fly. And, you know, like, just to hold it together was pretty bold. Like, to have a winning record last season, just Doug by himself, was pretty impressive. You know, like, the final outcome of them getting stomped in the play-in game isn't what anybody wanted to see, but that doesn't mean that Doug didn't hold that thing together with like scotch tape, and, you know, and a bunch of strong words. It's just, how does that work out this year? And that's why I think it's really good that they brought in a guy like Mike Woodson. They brought in a guy like Mike Miller. Like, these are guys with tons of NBA, both head coaching and assistant coaching experience that can really, really support Doug and give him sort of like take on some of the things, because Doug wasn't handing off anything. He wasn't delegating anything, you know, because he
probably
kept
didn't
saying,
trust
like,
anybody.
Well, he kept saying it's on me. Yeah. Like, no matter what, it's on me. So he's out there doing his own scouts, doing his own scouting reports and stuff. And you're like, man, you just can't take on all of that. It's such a big job, and you don't know it until you're in it. And then when you're in it, it's like you're looking around like, who can I trust? And I don't think he had a lot of trust with a lot of the coaches that were around him. And that's why a lot of the coaches that were around him aren't back. And that's not an indictment on anybody. That's just like you fired a head coach in the middle of the season. And like that head coach had brought in that staff because they were his people. They were not Doug's people. And Doug wasn't one of Mike's people. Doug was a holdover, a franchise guy, but then a holdover on Luke from Luke Walton's staff. And so, you know, there's always going to be a little bit of friction there as well, because you're always wondering like, okay, are you one of my people or are you a franchise guy? And so, it's complicated like this. The interpersonal relationships of an NBA team are just like crazy and wild and filled with egos and filled with, you know, random people in your ear and all kinds of crazy stuff.
Doug Christie sitting there like, oh man, Luke Louth's scouting report said leave Steph Curry open. I'm just following what he told me to do.
Yeah. It's tough. I mean, you're not walking into that show, Kenny, by yourself without a rundown that you didn't write. Right? Mm-hmm. That rundown you put together, so you know what you're doing in the first block and the second block and hour number three and what guests you have coming in. Like, you built that thing and you built it because you're gonna try to hold on for 4 hours and follow some sort of script and get you through it. Well, if you just let somebody else that you don't really have a lot of trust in write that script for you, and you go out on the air and you got to talk about topics that you don't feel all that comfortable with, it's going to get a little dicey.
That's the thing. It's the trust. Yeah. Like, KC should be able to rely on me. I should be able to rely on KC. Doug should be able to rely on his staff. And it felt like for a variety of different circumstances, that couldn't happen.
Yeah.
Which is why he was yelling at Matt George for the last 3 weeks of the season. And I think he got our guy Jeremiah, too. Like, he got someone else.
He got Jeremiah. Jeremiah, like, for whatever reason, first of all, he can't catch a foul ball.
Well, he's had a tough week. Our brother's had a tough week, yeah.
Yeah.
Doing great work, but he's had a tough week.
That was tough.
Yeah. But also, you know, like, it depends on the delivery, and sometimes someone's delivery isn't even intentional, but it comes across as accusatory. And I'm telling you, man, I've known Doug for a long time. That dude was absolutely exhausted, like hanging on by a thread. And that's the job, but he was thrust into that job and literally had no training wheels at all. No training wheels and probably two tires that were really, really low on air. And you're like, oh boy, how am I going to get to the finish line with this thing? And, you know, he kept saying it. I'm trying to fix an airplane in the air. And it's like, okay, well, get the landing gear down just in case you don't. You know, make sure that you're able to land it at least.
When we come back, though, I want to ask James more about that.
Okay. Casey will ask James about fixing airplanes in the air. We'll do that when Casey returns here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Let the kids lead off.
I was just going to tell everybody what I missed. And Jesse's like, oh, we're back.
Guess we'll never know.
Guess we'll never know. You wanted James to expand on something when we got back.
Yeah, we were talking about the coaching situation and, mm-hmm. and how chaotic it was.
With Doug and Mike and, yeah. and the staff, yeah.
And, you know, I've talked about a number of different times how that potentially could be something in favor of the Kings having a little bit more stability and potentially being a little better than they were last year. But I've never heard James kind of talk about it. How much of a benefit do you think that would be to have cohesion on the coaching staff and have Doug Christie not doing everything and being able to delegate? Do you think that could result in wins or a better locker room or a more cohesive locker room that goes towards winning?
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, like, look, a coaching staff is, like, having a really good staff is so important. Like, having Mike Woodson on this staff is incredibly important, you know, because he's got so much experience doing this that it's going to be, like, second nature. Like, Doug won't even have to delegate as much as Mike will just say, hey, man, I got you. I'll go take care of this stuff, this, and this for you. And then Mike will delegate that to somebody. You know, like there's going to be a way in which this thing should work really well where Doug can stay fresh himself. He's still going to be hyper-focused. He's still going to like work his butt off to make sure that he's trying to fix every problem that they have. But I think at the NBA level, we all know that like there's only so much you can do. Like you can, like a great coach can help you win a couple extra games, right? Mm-hmm. And a great system can help you make a 6 or an 8 year playoff run versus like a 1 or 2 or 3, 4 year playoff run, right? Like having that sort of structure and all that stuff in place that can help you. But at the end of the day, like you can't make somebody taller and you can't make somebody move their feet faster, at least not all the time. I mean, sometimes you can work with them and the training staff during the summer, but you know, you can't make somebody into a shot blocker that's not a shot blocker, and you can't, Doug Christie doesn't get to play defense and he doesn't get to hit three pointers and he doesn't get to be a secondary playmaker for this team. He has to rely on the players to actually do that. So there's always going to be a limit as to what a coach can do. And it's why, you know, the San Antonio Spurs, like we talked about earlier, today is David Robinson's 60th birthday, which just makes me feel really old.
Damn.
Yeah, but also, you know, Greg Popovich, he took over that Spurs team the year that David Robinson missed a year with back surgery. And they were so bad that they got the first pick in the draft. The first pick in the draft became Tim Duncan. They had Twin Towers. They won championships. Well, you know, Greg Popovich, I think we all consider one of the greatest coaches of all time. And Greg Popovich hasn't won anything since Tim Duncan retired. Mm-hmm. You know, like you can be a great coach, but, you know, I think Phil Jackson was a smart enough man to know that once Michael Jordan wasn't going to play anymore and you got your six championships there, you should probably go somewhere where they have the next Michael Jordan and go coach the Lakers and win another three championships. So, like, having good players is a really big deal. And at this point, like, Doug doesn't have that. You know, we talked about this the other day, Kenny, like, you know, the best player, you don't want Domas to be your best player, but you also need a first best player that's way better than what any of the players the Kings have, you know? And so, like, having that 1A, it doesn't just help the players around you kind of fit into a structure better. It helps your head coach. Mm-hmm. You got somebody out there who's willing to take the big shots, who's willing to do all of the dirty work that we don't consider dirty work, the scoring, the consistency, the, you know, bringing the fire, like rallying the troops on the court and getting them to go one direction. Like, when you don't have that, it's tough on the coach as well, because he's going to be the one who has to carry some of that, but also who has to figure out, like, what exactly is my pecking order, you know? And a pecking order should naturally just work itself out. But, you know, you're a young coach. Like, we don't know how this is going to work out fully with Doug, and hopefully it does. It works out well, but it's still tough.
Yeah. You talk about, you know, it helps to have really good players. Kings, of course, had De'Aaron Fox last year until they didn't. He's a member of the San Antonio Spurs. We were on the air together, the insiders and D'Lo and KC, when news of that contract has broke, that De'Aaron Fox signed that 4-year contract with the San Antonio Spurs. A lot has been written by the NBA media about that contract in recent days. What do you think about it? You covered De'Aaron his entire career. He's off to San Antonio. He's going to be in a completely different type of role. That's a team that's banking on their young guys being great, but they locked him up as one of their high-priced players. Was that the right move for San Antonio, or is that something they're going to look on in a couple of years, as De'Aaron being more disposable?
Yeah, so I don't want to be hypocritical here, because if he were to sign that deal in Sacramento, we all would have applauded. Like just being honest, like, we would have all been like, all right, you got De'Aaron locked up for, you know, the next 6 years. So, like, that would have been something that I think everybody kind of celebrated here in Sacramento. The outside probably would have had the same murmurs. Like, you're giving a bunch of money to a guy who made it to one playoff series and mm-hmm. lost that playoff
That's
series
right. yep.
and couldn't get out of the play-in game the next season, right? So I think it's one of those things where, like, look, I don't know that San Antonio had a bunch of options. I also know that, like, when you're dealing with De'Aaron, you're dealing with Rich Paul, and that matters when you're San Antonio, because there's going to be a bunch of other players that are Rich Paul guys, and, like, you're trying to build something, and you might need Rich Paul to help you build that thing. I just, you know, the contract is high. It is. And, you know, like, is De'Aaron a max money player? He's really close to a max money player, but, you know, most of the players that make that type of money, like, we talk about the Domas money at $47 million that he makes, like, in the last year of his deal, tack on another $10 million, and that's what De'Aaron got. I mean, basically average annual salary of $57 million a year. It's just so much money. And you better be a 1A, and I don't care if there's another 1A on your team, you better still be a 1A. You just better have two 1As, because that money is going up and beyond what it is, you know, that even, like, a Domas makes. So, like, look, do I hate the deal? I don't hate the deal, but I also don't look at the deal in the same way that I hear some people who are like, oh, well, you know, if one of these two young point guards develop, you just trade De'Aaron. It's like, good luck with that. I mean, good luck with finding a team in year two that's going to come up with $53 million or $46 million to match salary or whatever. That's just going to be really tough to do. And, you know, we saw it a couple of years ago when teams had the option between trading for De'Aaron Fox or Tyrese Haliburton. Tyrese Haliburton didn't make any money. De'Aaron Fox was on, you know, the early stages of that second contract where he's making 30 something million dollars a year, but like low 30s. And people weren't jumping at that contract then. So, you know, basically double that contract. And that's just, for me, it's a tough investment. And I hope that, you know, De'Aaron has a ton of success there. But that's a lot of money.
There is one team that we talked about that I forgot could make a move for De'Aaron Fox, and it actually all fits out well. Is,
well, to be clear, it wouldn't be that team making a move for De'Aaron Fox.
You're right. It'd be the Spurs making a move for that player. And I thought about the Giannis aspect of it. Giannis would be the one guy who the monies match up. De'Aaron's probably a little older than the Bucks would want when you talk about restarting or building around. But, I mean, he still maybe could be under 30, and you get a bunch of picks. And that's – I agree with you. I thought it would be very, very difficult to trade De'Aaron Fox on that contract. That was the one that I thought about, well, this actually probably does work. San Antonio might be looking for a guy like Giannis in a year or two, if Giannis ever says he wants out.
Yeah, that's always a possibility. I also think, like, if you're the Bucks, you're looking at the other guys. You're looking at, like, how do you get Dylan Harper? How do you get Castle? How do you get Vassell? Just because if you're the Bucks, you're starting over, and you don't want a 28-year-old, 27-, 28-year-old. And even, I think we were talking about this the other day, the final year of De'Aaron's new contract, he's 32, making $63 million. That's a lot of money.
It's crazy.
63, man.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. And so, like, look, you might be onto something. They might look at the deal there for Giannis down the road. But, like, the Bucks would have to have a whole bunch of other players, like, lined up and ready. And, I mean, we see how difficult it is to build a team around Giannis in Milwaukee. How much more difficult would it be to build a team around De'Aaron in Milwaukee for basically the same money?
Well, I don't think they're trying to build around De'Aaron. I think they're probably working on the process of starting over.
Well, that's why I would say they would ask for your young players as opposed to Fox. And then that's where it becomes an issue. Is there going to be a way that you could afford Fox, you know, Wemby making $40 million, you know, in his second contract or even more? And then Giannis making, you know, 60 plus. And the answer is probably not, because, I mean, you're already, you know, if you had all three of those players right now, a 40 and two 60s, you're already looking at, like, that's $160 million in cap space. You're over the salary cap. You add three or four players and you're in the luxury tax, like, a long ways into it. So, yeah, it just becomes really difficult to build a team like that. And again, like, I don't think the Bucks would take a De'Aaron Fox and the swap for Giannis, because you're not going to be able to build the team around De'Aaron either. You know what I'm saying? You still have a 60-something million dollar contract on your books, and that's nearly, you know, if you're starting over, it's really difficult to build up with that.
So do you think that contract was a mistake?
I mean, I don't know if it was a mistake. I just, like team building and stuff wise, like, if they could have got De'Aaron Fox at 45, that would have made a lot more sense than 57 annual. Because that's a big difference. That's a big difference in your ability to trade a player, your ability to do everything. And, you know, I don't begrudge De'Aaron for taking every dollar that he can.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, like, if you're building a club, the Spurs have had a long history of getting guys like that to take less than max money. And that's not what you did right here. Like, even, I don't think Tim Duncan ever got full max money. And if he did, it was like only a handful of the years he was there, not the entire time. You know, a lot of guys in San Antonio take less than the market value.
He did threaten to go to the Orlando Magic once.
He did.
It's an all-time great story.
I know that's not how these things work, but I'm just looking at, like, the guys. if you wanted to move on from De'Aaron. And the guys that make that type of money, number one, I don't know if you would move on from them. And obviously, like, you can package two $25 million a year players and, you know, do it that way. But we're talking about, you know, Jaylen Brown. Maybe that might be a guy. We're talking about Jimmy Butler, Jokic, Booker, Towns. Like, I can't imagine San Antonio trading De'Aaron Fox for one of these type of guys.
Mm-hmm.
So outside of the Giannis one and the Jaylen Brown one, I didn't realize he made that much money. And I don't know who you would move De'Aaron Fox for in that situation. That would that
Zach
both sides.
LaVine and someone's first round pick.
There you go. Cap filler.
There it is.
Cap filler. Yeah. Cap filler.
So good. But like I said, though, good for De'Aaron getting that money, getting that bag. He's definitely earned it. And now things will change because he's got that price tag on him. So it's not going to be. You got the price tag and you got Wemby. It's not going to be cute.
Yeah, your
to get
coverage
to,
is going to change. Yeah, this isn't going to be.
It's not going to be cute to be in the first round.
It's not going to be James Hamm kindly asking you questions after your latest 4 of 10 shooting performance. It's going to be Stephen A. Smith ripping you for 90 straight minutes talking about how Wemby needs a true superstar next to him.
Yeah. No, that's a tough thing, man. Like, you're going to have a magnifying glass on you. And, like, look, I think that team's going to probably, there's a good chance they'll play Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, now, like, everyone wants to watch Wemby play, and, like, the spotlight is going to be on you. Now, like, if
I believe
Fox
we
performs,
had, I believe we had San Antonio and New York. I believe that was our matchup. We have the Spurs at the Garden.
We should figure out how many we get right.
Yeah, well, I wrote them down. I need to write them a little clearer because I wrote a bunch of team. Every time we listed a team, I wrote it down, and then I just started drawing arrows to who
What did you do that one time? You put notes, and it was just like De'Aaron. You're like, I don't know why I wrote
that. Yeah, I have no idea. Yeah. I still have my notes from my conversation with De'Aaron, and I can't figure out what most of them mean. But
you
got to
use that big whiteboard behind you.
Yeah, that's what it is. We have Spurs. We have Spurs. We went so far as to assign them Spurs at Knicks. We did that. I think we swayed KC on doing Lakers and Mavericks.
Begrudgingly.
Very begrudgingly went with that one, but we went Lakers and Mavs on Christmas Day. We did Warriors and Rockets. Let's see, Warriors, Rockets.
Then we have OKC.
I think that's Boston.
Yeah, Boston at OKC.
That's what it was.
The movie theater game.
Boston at OKC. Yep.
And then Clippers, Nuggets for the nightcap.
Oh yeah, there you go. Good call.
Can we put the Thunder on Christmas Eve?
They don't even have no games on Christmas Eve. Just have them there by themselves.
Yeah, like maybe a Christmas special or something for the Thunder. They don't need Christmas.
That Clippers Nuggets game is not moving me at all. But
none of the 7 o'clock games do ever.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know that Clippers team. I don't know.
But yeah, both. I mean, let's be honest. Both of those teams are pretty good.
I think so. I think.
Oh
those
yeah,
teams,
they. I love.
It didn't happen when I was here. I love that Chris Paul went back to the Clippers.
Yeah, I'm with
absolutely
that.
Absolutely love that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think there's a clear cut top four in the West.
I agree.
OKC, Houston, Denver, and the Clippers?
Yeah.
Okay. I agree.
Yeah.
Y'all are really down on the Lakers.
No, well, I would say that's the fifth.
Teams. Okay.
Yeah,
that's the fifth team. I don't know outside of that.
Well, I'm glad everyone has come around on how I feel about the Timberwolves then. Ain't nobody thinking about their asses.
They might be six. They might be better than the Warriors.
They might be. No, they might be. The Warriors are the one.
Yeah.
And I'm hesitant to say this because they'll pop out of the casket like that zombie and Thriller. I don't think that team. I think that was a post trade deadline adrenaline rush. It was a good basketball team. Obviously, Steph gets hurt. Like, you don't really know how it could have ended, but I don't know that they're doing that for 82.
I agree.
And that's where I just kind of get stuck on, like, could they be a 40-something? Like, they're not going to be a bad basketball team unless Steph isn't playing.
Right.
Like, that's probably – they're not ascending, though. That's a 46-win basketball, 46-47-win basketball team.
Mm-hmm. Even, like, they don't have a – like, something that you're pinning your hopes to for the future at all.
Oh, God, like, no.
Pods.
No.
Pods.
No, the Warriors are starting over, right? Well, I mean, Pods, like – I'm going to put him in the same level of prospect as Neek.
Well, Clifford. Kenny was being sarcastic. He doesn't like Pods.
No, I do like Pods. Yeah. My mom doesn't like Pods.
Well.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Pods is somewhere probably between, you know, again, Devin Carter and Neek Clifford as far as like the level of player that you expect him to be.
And so, if there is one thing you don't want to be, it's in the category of Devin Carter.
We almost went the whole day. We almost went the whole day.
Boy.
I keep saying, I'm going to keep saying this. The Warriors would be a much better team if they just made the deal for Malik Monk. Figure out what you got to do with Buddy Hield. Like, I don't care. Like, figure out what you got to do with Moses Moody. You don't want to play him anyways.
Like, yeah, that's the crazy. Like, maybe holding on to Moses Moody and give him the scraps of the minutes every year.
Yeah, they act like they played Moses Moody 40 minutes last year. Oh, we don't want to move on from him. What?
Yeah.
They give him the scraps all the time and just never want to trade him.
Yeah, I mean, even like we talk about that deal, like if you were to throw, like say you throw Moody into that deal with the Kings, and so it was Moody and Kuminga. And then going back, you throw in like Devin Carter and you might have
love
to have
it.
One more.
Love it already.
That might actually balance out some of the salary issue. And then the Kings, it would be on the Kings to go find a way to dump salary. Like, but I do think
don't dump no salary. You're going to go sign someone after you do that. You get Devin's ass out of here. You trade Malik. You can take Moses Moody back. You get Jonathan Kuminga and you go sign Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, but you're way over the luxury.
Don't care, James.
Don't care.
Don't care. Yeah. You put me on an apron if you want to.
Put me on an apron.
Hey, I mean, that's a good question, though. If you were the Kings, would you give up an unprotected pick if it meant you got Moody and Kuminga and it swapped that, you know, again, if you like, you can send Saric. Let's just say you package the whole deal. Mm-hmm. You do Saric and Devin Carter along with Malik Monk. Then what they could do is they can waive Saric and drop back and lose some money off the cap and then stretch provision him. And then the Kings would have to find a way to release, to get rid of some money, but not as much. I mean, it'd be like 8-10 million you'd have to get rid of. So
I would.
Anyway,
I would. I'd strongly consider that because you're getting two guys. You know, you're trying to get younger and all this other stuff, and you're getting two guys under 25. I think Moody's still under 25. He's probably like 20. He was a freshman when he came out, so he's probably like 23, 24 years old. So, yeah.
You just totally mock the Warriors. Like, we'll take your two timelines.
Yeah, 23. Yeah.
We got our own two timelines.
Yeah. There you go, James. Go call somebody. Yeah, go make it happen.
Yeah, that's a good one, Hammer. Let's get that done. As long as it includes Devin. Malik and Devin, and your pick, you get that to San Francisco.
Boy, you've got something going on here with Devin. I don't know
what it is, man.
I'm feeling some vibe from you.
It seems to get worse by the day. That young man didn't do anything to me. He didn't even get to play a full year last year. Went into the season hurt. There's just something about him that agitates me. I can't figure it out. I don't know what it is. It's just I'm just bothered by him. And I can't see a scenario where he becomes a good basketball player. Or it certainly they can't play him at point guard, man. If that's really the plan, this is just bad news for everybody if that's something that they're really considering doing. They cannot play that kid at point guard. That young man.
I don't think he's going to be playing all that much. So, I mean, if he's here, I don't think
all the more reason issue. He should be somewhere else. He is a Monty McNair stain that that remains on this organization. Yo, like, you're giggling at me. I'm not wrong.
You're right. You're 100% correct. Monty McNair, that was...
Still has no logical explanation as to why this happened.
That was the nail in the coffin for me. Monty McNair with that. And not even just Devin Carter, but the scenario. I'm going to assume you knew he needed surgery. Why would you do that?
I'll frame this better. Give Devin a fresh start. Give Devin an opportunity to go play somewhere. Give him an opportunity in a backcourt that's not crowded. Give him an opportunity where he can go get minutes and play ball.
Yes.
I'll frame it in a better way.
Because I think you agree with this too. I still think you're dealing with an NBA player. I think he's an NBA player, a rotational guy.
Yeah, the G League is the NBA.
See that?
I'm glad I stayed out of this conversation.
Dame trying to send him to the big three down there.
Hey, Dame, go listen to the clip of Nancy Lieberman telling everybody what she thinks of Jeff Teague after his take on Caitlin Clark.
Yes, I saw that clip.
All right, yeah. I'll go pull it up now. We're going to head over to 102.5. We'll be back here tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. with James and Kyle, the insiders here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Vamos, Connecticut Little League.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.